Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I'm happy to be here and to worship with you. I've been encouraged thus far as I have been part of your worship service. And keep serving the Lord. Keep striving to glean truths from those words, from the truth of Scripture. Thought about that devotional about Zacchaeus. Did you catch in that, you know, as he talked about, our brother talked about New Year's resolution, I think some of the problem that we have with New Year's resolution is we'll start that on New Year's Day. Zacchaeus, Jesus told Zacchaeus, today is salvation. Start today. Do it today. And then, of course, looking at the life of Caleb, such a blessing. Well, I'm from the Cornerstone Congregation. I welcome you to come up there sometime and worship with us. I've been blessed to have some of your ordained men up there already, and maybe some others as well. But welcome you again to come up there to New York and worship with us. I was trying to decide whether this responsibility of coming here this morning and sharing God's word with you is a rotation schedule assignment, or whether it's a bishop qualification message assignment. I'm trying to juggle between those two, because I did hear that there was another bishop here and did share one of these, and I said, well, do we need two? But Brother Duane said that, yeah, you should do that, and I said, well, okay. I'll fill where I've been called to do, and I will try to do that, trust it, that it'll be something new for you to ponder and to think about. As I was driving in here this morning, I did not see signs out along the road that it was campaign signs of nominate me on next Sunday evening. I did not see that. Our world works that way. In the church, we don't work that way. It's a serious responsibility. It's a serious call that is placed on brothers' lives when they place themselves in a servant role and serve you as a congregation in leading and guiding. But God places them there. Let's never lose focus of that, the importance of that. Why do we ordain leaders? Can't we just run church life without leaders? Paul writes and says, let all things be done decently and in order. You need leaders for decency and in order to happen. Somebody has to got to step forward. Somebody has to make the order happen. Yes, it will work for a while. If you can get structure, and you can have order for a while, but ultimately, if you don't have somebody that, there's going to come a time when the boat gets rocked a little bit and you need a leader to step forward and to help to stabilize it again. So maybe the question you have as a congregation is, who should be the leader? You already have ministers and deacons. Now you're looking at a bishop. Who should be the bishop? I understand. That's a thought that's going to be through your mind all through the week, up to Sunday evening. Who does God have for this work? How is this all going to work out? I also thought it was very fitting as I pondered the new year that is coming. There's going to be some new in the Altoona congregation. Lord willing, you will have a resident bishop. Lord willing, one of your ordained men now will be called to a greater servanthood. Greater responsibility. Now, in the world we live in, responsibility is not a word that people like to hear. Some people don't like this word. But sometimes we do like this word. Think with me. You give a teenager, when they turn 16, all of a sudden they want their driver's license. Why? Because it gives freedom, but it also gives responsibility. So sometimes in life we like responsibility because it comes with it, something comes with it. You as a believer, each and every one of us, have came to the age of life. If you ever remember here at Altoona Mennonite Church, you have come to the age of life where you have said, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to renounce Satan. I'm going to renounce the world and all its lusts. I'm going to follow Christ. When you did that, you have responsibility. There's a responsibility that comes with it. You're responsible to take up the cross daily and follow Christ. You're responsible to say no to your fleshly desires. Resist temptation. Show love to the brotherhood. Cultivate those Christian virtues within your life. And build brotherhood. A working together. A blending together of the congregation here. It carries responsibility. You say, well, what does that have to do with a bishop ordination? It is in a group of believers, primarily now focusing on the group here at Altoona. It is among you, group of believers, that you have a responsibility to look out among you a brother for the work. You can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. The church is being established. The church is being planted. And Christ has returned to heaven. There's workers needed for the work of building church. If you're looking for a title for the message, I have entitled it, God Calls a Leader. God Calls a Leader. But in Acts chapter 9, verse 3 to 8, I find here a man called for the work of a ministry. A man that actually had not given his heart to the Lord at this point. He was not serving Christ. Excuse me. Try to get rid of that frog that's in my throat. Here was a man, though, that was working at what he felt was the call in his life. And that was to bring men to Jerusalem bound and put him into prison. Contrary to the work of God, contrary to God's work as he planted the church. But he was very zealous, he was very faithful in that. And when you look about calling ministry in our churches today, we sometimes could say, why doesn't the Lord just shine a light as he did here? Let's read this account. Acts chapter 9, verse 3, and as he journeyed, this was talking about Saul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling in his body, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth. And when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. We could go on reading and read how Ananias, a faithful disciple, came and brought sight back to Saul's eyes. A conversion experience that happened to a brother Saul. But he immediately got a vision. When he gave his heart to the Lord, he gave everything he had. And he went, and you can come in the following chapters, and you see Saul picking up the work. Saul being a minister of God. He would stand out. He would preach Christ. God called him for a work. And you take the whole New Testament and start looking as you come past the book of Acts, past Saul's conversion experience. So you come past that and you start looking at all that. Excuse me. You start looking at all that Saul had wrote to the churches, all the stability he brought to the churches. Where did it start at? It started at his conversion experience, God's call in his life. And so I want to keep thinking about the first point I have of this message is God calls a leader. And so God's call, as he calls a leader. I don't believe that Sunday evening you're going to see a bright light shine from heaven. Or this week as you ponder the name to give Sunday evening, I don't think you're going to probably have that bright light experience. You might. Maybe the Lord will choose that way to reveal it to you. But oftentimes in my experience, it has not been that way. Maybe it's lack of faith on my own part. But it's as brethren and sisters have given their heart to Christ and are serving Christ and they're looking in the brotherhood. They look out from among themselves. We can go back to Acts chapter 1. And when they're calling for a man to take Judas's place, they sought out among themselves one that would meet the qualifications. Somebody that had followed with them from the beginning when Jesus was started ministering. And they had two of them, of course, in that situation that we're looking at there in Acts chapter 1. And then they used a lot to go between the two. God used men and women that were serving him to find those people. Now there's something you as a congregation, as you think about God's call and the responsibility that goes with it, there's something you as a congregation have to do. And this week especially. Because you have a work to do that is going to happen next Sunday evening. And that is when you come into the council room and you give a name of a nomination for a brother. That comes from you. That's your responsibility. To search out and seek those. What were the people doing in Acts chapter 1? Verse 14 says this, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." There's something you need to be doing this week. You need to be sincere, earnest in prayer for the work. Be in prayer for the work daily. Give extra time for prayer. These all continued in prayer, in one accord. Because your responsibility is going to be to look out from among you, men, for the job. Acts chapter 6, they're looking for deacons. Needed 7 of them. Verse 3 of that says, "And wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." That's how our ordinations happen. You as a congregation have a work to do. Your work, as you're in prayer for it, has a responsibility to further the work of the church. God works through you to build his church. must be in prayer, seeking God's will. Who would he have for the work? Seek out one that can fill the role of bishop at Altoona and to help Dwayne. Now, as you look about in this situation, it's when you think about searching out a bishop, you look at the ordained, and some of the times the ones that are sit on the front bench, I'm not very far away from that myself, but you feel the pressure of it. You feel the weight of it. You know, when there's a minister ordination, there's a congregation. When there's a bishop ordination, there's ministry. It's okay, brothers. But you as a congregation, what are you going to look at? How are you going to evaluate your ministry? I trust you appreciate them all. I trust you love them all. How do you know? 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, Samuel's looking for a leader for Israel. And God tells him this. As those older brothers of David was walking past Samuel and they seemed of mighty stature, they seemed like a perfect leader. Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance nor the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Brethren, how are you going to know the hearts of your leaders? Going back and highlighting the point that you must be in prayer. You must be in prayer. God can reveal it to you. I don't think Paul is saying in this, in his writing to Timothy. Let's turn over there. Sometime in this message, I want to read the qualifications. Let's just turn over there. I want to come back to Acts some more again, but let's just take the time to go over and read 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we have this account here of the qualifications. We like to use these verses for qualifications for ministers, deacons, and bishops. And I thought about this morning going down through and just taking each of these, because sometimes these words we maybe struggle a little bit of how to evaluate them. How do we know all this? What's it talking about? I'm going to leave that for some of that for a study for you, and maybe Brother Edwin shared some of that already. But I want you to just think about this as we read this. What I believe Paul is telling Timothy and those that were there, you need to evaluate their character. We're not taking each individual thing and look at whether he's checking all the boxes off. Look at the heart. Look where the brother is. Because your ordained brethren are ordained from laity and they had the same struggles you'd have. Maybe more so. And so if you want to hold them to a check mark on a box as to whether they're this or not, evaluate your life that way too. How well do you do? But what's the focus? What is their character like? What are they striving for is what I'm going for. What is their goal and vision of their own life? How do they really, what are they pressing toward? What for goal are they searching for? And so that's what I want you to think about that as we read these. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. Yes. Yes. We know these verses. But this is something that all of us should be striving for. Verse 11, though, has another one that it's underneath the deacons, but I believe it fits for all ministry and for all that you ponder for the work. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. I think there's some qualifications to who he is married to as well. Now let's turn over to Titus 1. Titus 1, verse 5 through 9. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. I'm going to cease reading there. So as you ponder these qualifications that we read from Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy and to Titus, take them, evaluate the whole life of the brother that you're thinking about. Evaluate their character. When you think of Tim, when you think of Sonny, when you think of Ernest, when you think of Logan, what do you think of? You see, our mind is a wonderful functioning organ. It can pull up history, experiences you had in the past. Some can be good, some can maybe not be so good. Maybe that's just the New York ministry that have those not so good moments. But it's relationships we have with people. We think about them. You think of your appreciation of him or your maybe not so much appreciation. The times when maybe you have to use that agape love, and you choose to love. Maybe your mind pulls up some concerns you have for the brother. Or maybe it just pulls up the appreciation and the love and the high esteem you hold for that brother. That's what your mind does. It's there. Brothers and sisters, let's go beyond that. Let's really dig in our prayer life and in searching out. Who does God want for the work of bishop? And let's evaluate the whole life. Even those times, maybe when you feel like they've stepped on your toes a little bit, can you see it as a blessing? It's needful sometimes in life. Yes, it is. We can look at personal preferences, but let's look past them. Past disagreements, let's look past them. Let's look for godliness. How are they walking with God? How is their concern for your soul, my soul, and the souls of the fellow men, and the souls of the world? How is it? Does he show a love for brethren and sisters, for those that he comes in contact with, a love for their soul. Does he take time to listen to them? Does he take time to give a relationship or strive for a relationship? Is he serving God faithfully? Does he have struggles in life? Do you know the struggles that your ministry have? Can you see them? I'd like to turn now and think a little more about these qualifications. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is writing some more qualifications for bishops. And I had come across this in my studies, and I'd like to just pull a few things from this account of where Paul was writing some qualifications and just ponder them. And so Acts chapter 20, verses 28. Paul is writing, and I always thought this was just a writing to the ministry in that, but and it is. But I think there's something there that is qualifications that needs to be there in a brother's life. Verse 28, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after him. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul is leaving them, realize there's going to be change in life. This is Paul's last words to them in person. What is some qualifications for a bishop? He must be able to feed. Verse 28, feed the flock. Feed the church of God. How do you feed someone? Remember, I talked about him living his own Christian life in service for God and living a life that is wholly committed to God. That's what, when he digs into the Word himself, he has something to feed to others. So he's one that has been feeding himself on God's Word. And that comes forth as you relate to him. He's able to feed you with truth from God's Word. What is the second one I see in these verses? Verse 29 to 30, we have these false teachers coming in. Believe he's a man that is able to see truth and to make a division between false and true. And he's able to defend the truth. Where's truth found? Again, we come back to that first one we talked about. It's in his feeding on God's Word. He knows truth because he goes to God's Word for the truth. Not of himself, not of the world about us, but the truth of God's Word. And he can defend it with the truth of God's Word. What else is there for qualifications? As Paul was talking to the ordained. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I see a man with a burden. He was a watchful man. He was one that could warn people, was willing to go warn the sinner, comfort the saint. He was a man that could shed tears as he did it. He had sympathy with those that he was working with. One that can relate to you. You know, when your ministry can cry tears with you, that makes a bond. Night and day with tears. I believe when Paul went and had a burden and he was warning someone, he did it with tears. He was able to relate to them. He was able to have a heart for them. Can the brother you ponder, can you do that? Verse 33, I see a man coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. He's a man that's not covetous. He's not in this world for what the world has to offer him, but he's in it for what God has for him. And in verse 35, I see him as a giving individual. Must be a giving individual. Give of himself. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Giving to others, not hoarding for himself. I believe we find that in the life of Paul. But it started with him saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. This is in the second part of the message, man's response. So we came to this Christmas season, I was pondering these words as I was studying for this message. As we went through the Christmas story again, one thing that stood out to me is Mary's response to the angel when he said that you're going to be with child. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I don't know what Mary knew about the journey she was going to have. But anybody that thought about it as a teenager, a spouse to a man would know that there's going to be trials, there's going to be hard times in life, there's going to be times where you don't know you're going to be falsely accused. Yes, it's going to come. And Mary just said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. God, I'll fill whatever you want have for me. I trust that the four men sitting in front of you had the same burden in their life. As Mary did, as Saul did, what wilt thou have me to do? A man that is in tune with God, searching out God's direction. And so we come into that. What's man's response? He must be a willing man. And so for you ordained here that are in focus, are you willing to pick up the work if God calls you to it? Prepare yourself for that. Are you willing to take on a new work that will take some effort on your part, a work that's going to call you for a greater life of service? We only ordain those that are willing to pick up the work. When you come to an ordination, the brother in focus is asked three times, will you accept this responsibility? He must be a willing man. If a brother says he's not willing, we don't go through with it. But you know what? You can make him be a willing man easier by being willing yourself. Make his load as easy as you can. Be willing to walk where you are called, where you've committed yourself to walk. Yes, we'd like the ordained man to be the willing man, willing to serve the church, but what are you giving in return? The last point, that was on man's response. Now I'd like to just look a little bit at a fulfilled role. When Saul had that light shine on him on the Damascus road, and he asked, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord told him, go into the city and it will be told thee what thou must do. Did Saul turn around and go the other way? No. Saul went into the city. And he went where God called him to go. And in the process of time, here comes Ananias and restores him sight. And suddenly, God calls him to be a preacher, a teacher. He fulfilled his role. Later on, Paul writes, I thought I could quote that. I've run a good race. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul had run his course as God had asked of him and had called him to, and he fulfilled his role. May we today fulfill our role that God is calling us to. Work for Christ is hard work. Takes watching ourselves, just for laity as well as for ordained men. But I keep under my body, 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. There's work that goes into serving Christ and being called into the servanthood of leadership. To be an example for the flock. Go into the city and it shall be told thee what thou must do, what thou shalt do. In ordination time, in the church, the process we have taken is one where you do the work for it. You show these men if they're called to the work or not. And if there's more than one there, that there's need of a lot, we use that and God reveals the end. But if there's only one, God reveals through you, brothers. May God help you as a congregation to fulfill your role in searching out from among yourselves those that could do the work, those that can fulfill the call. And to you, as the ones in focus, don't shrink from the call. God empowers those that lean on Him. Joshua 1:9, these words are spoken. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. In church life, you may start feeling like it's a little, you know, ordination time can maybe feel a little bumpy. God works. Lean on God. He will show you whatsoever thou shalt go. He'll lead you where you should go. He'll lead you and guide you and direct you. The blessing of the church. The church can be strengthened. Am I willing, as you ponder an ordination, am I willing of myself as a lay member to give all for Christ? Am I willing to evaluate my own life in the same way I am going to be evaluating my leaders that lead me Sunday morning in the coming week? As you ponder your leaders in the coming week, let me not get this all twisted up. As you ponder your leaders and their lives and who God would have you to nominate on Sunday evening, my challenge to you, brothers and sisters, is evaluate your own life too. If God would call you to that work, am I living a life as I ought to be? Is there something I'm holding back from serving Christ as I ought to? There's a blessing for those with a fulfilled role. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Yes, they had a blessing in the future life that they were looking for. And that is when we, each and every one of us, follow wherever God calls us to. May God bless you as a congregation here, as you search out from among you a man for the office of bishop. May the Lord bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Lord, we are so thankful that you have given us so many blessings that we can enjoy. Most of all, that we can have our sins washed away and cleansed. But we also thank you, Lord, for this land of freedom, that we can gather together in this way without fear of torture or death. Lord, help us to be faithful in letting a light and witness for you while we have this opportunity. Lord, as we also thank you for the brotherhood, each and every one, the strengths of each one. Lord, as they blend them together, we thank you for the strong church that can be built. And Lord, now as we think about this congregation here at Altoona, thinking about an ordination, a man to step forward and fill the role of bishop, may you bless the congregation as they search out from among them one to fill that role. May you bless the congregation as they step forward and do their work that is they're called to do. And Lord, may your name be honored and glorified through this time. May you speak through the brotherhood to bring forth those that you would, the brother that you would have for the work here. Bless the congregation in the coming days with wisdom. Help them to feel at rest through this time and their, may you give them the word, the brother that you would have them to bring forward. For we also pray for the brothers that are in focus. May you just be near to them, grant them calmness. Help them to be faithful wherever they're serving now. And Lord, help them to be willing, if you call them, to a work of greater servanthood. Help them to be willing to accept that as well. Pray that through this time, the church may grow and be strengthened. This we pray in Jesus' name.